The different personalities that is especially interesting to mention regarding the appreciation of the Chovas Halvavos is the Noi Debiude. The Noi Debiude, of course, Rabbi Cheskel Landau, who goes down, of course, in the line of the Gedolei Yisrael, one of the greatest poskim of all time, and of course of the later ones of the Achreinim. Noi Yehuda Kedua, that he lives in the 1700s, and he was in Italy already from a very, very young age, Rabbi Cheskel Landau. And as a matter of fact, just interesting, which is just an aside, very unusual to find this fact, a Talmud of his, who is the Reish Bezin of Prague, Reb Lezer Fleckels, wrote a sefer called Shal Shechuvis Shuvah Me'ahava, a well-known Odom Godel. So he also talks about the physical features of his Rebbe, which is very unusual, because we're very, not interested in any physical features. So he points out, and he says that he was Oruch B'doiroi. Oruch B'doiroi, he was a very tall person. Mishichmo Yomala Givoyi Mekalam. Now usually that means spiritually. You know, Mishichmo Yomala, from shoulders, head and shoulders above. But here in that particular segment, he means to say is that the Nebuta was actually tall, very, very tall. And he makes a point of saying that a good lay, that his thumb was double the size, he says, of a regular thumb. Which is an afkim la'alochah, because it's very sure that we are mishaya with a good lay, with the size of a thumb. So he says that the Noi Debiude had an extra large thumb, kenoida lechol misho yezoiche la'akiroi, as is known by anyone who had the privilege of knowing the Noi Debiude. I have to mention, therefore, that the Chuvat Chassam Sofer in Arachayim is in Mekufchav Zayin, talks about that and says we don't go by an extra large agudel, but we go by the average size of an agudel when it comes to shiurim. The Noi Debiude, you know, was learning to his younger years in a famous city called Brod. Brod at that particular time in Poland was a mokim, an ir ve'eim that attracted gedolei Yisrael from all over. And the Noi Debiude was known as to be one of the greatest, although he was at a very young age. By the way, he learned there, just to have an idea, some of the Gedolim that were at the time learning abroad, was Rabbi Tzikl Hamburger, also one of the great Gedolei Yisrael, who was the Zayid of the Rupschitzer Ruf, Rabbi Tzikl Rupschitzer, Rabbi Tzikl Hamburger, and who is buried in Hamburg. The cave is there to be seen to this day. It's visited by many, many people. And also someone known as Reb Chaim Sanzer, not to be confused with the Sanzer Ruf, his name was also Chaim. But Reb Chaim Sanzer was known as an Odom Godel Meyoid, a Goyin and a great Baal Mekubel. And he, in his capacity of being this great Baal Mekubel, he acknowledged and revealed the secret that the Noi Debiude not only was the greatest Pesik of his generation, but also was the greatest Baal Mekubel. Whereas the Noi Debiude tried to always cover it up and to hide the fact. He would always say, "Ein li eisig bin historis." A very common phrase that you find many great people writing. "I have no knowledge," he says, "in the mystical portion of Torah. I only know the revealed portion." And many times it's true, many times it's only hiding the fact. In the Noi Debiude's case, he was always hiding the fact. People should not realize that. And Reb Chaim Sanzer once wrote a phrase, you know, Cheskel HaNovi, among the many things, of course he was a Novi, but his particular, the Nevuah, the prophecies in Cheskel, talks about Maisa Markova, talks about what's doing in the heavenly spheres. So as a play on words, Reb Chaim Sanzer wrote on the Noi Debiude, whose name was also Yecheskel, Tzofo Yecheskel b'Maisa Markova. Yecheskel has eyes and view and vision. What's doing in the upper spheres, in the Olam HaSolyonim, in the upper worlds. That was merely to make the point that the Noi Debiude has extreme knowledge in the hidden and the Seudas HaTorah as well. Of course, later on, by the way, while he was there in Brod, he was Mechaber, a Sefer, which is called Derish Lasi, and a lot of droshes with a lot of Musar in that Sefer. Not very well known to everyone, Noi Debiude we know, Sefer Noi Debiude, that's the name that he goes by in terms of eminence and prominence, but there's many other Svarim that he wrote as well. Just kedai to mention that he writes in the Hagdomah about his Rebbetzin, and he gives major credit to his Rebbetzin that he was able to develop and to grow and to be able to dedicate his life to learning. And he writes a loshon, he says, V'ho'isha asher imodi, he says, le'ezer v'loy le'negdi, because the Torah says, ezer k'negdoi. So sometimes a wife can be either way. Can be helping you or sometimes against you. So this was a wife that was le'ezer v'loy le'negdi. He says, v'zuhi schusa. What's her schus? She was living alone in the house, he says, because 6 days a week he was in the base medrash. So she was like alone the whole week. So it gives tremendous credit to her that she allowed him to do that. And she was mevater, you know, on his behalf. So just mention that his wife's name was Liba. His wife's name was Liba. And she was nifter before him. He was nifter before him, and you'll notice in a number of places in the Tshuvas Noda B'Yehuda, where he writes, upon receiving various shilas as he received from all over the world, he writes, I'm not able to answer because, he says, the tsaris and the pain that I am, he says, for losing my spouse. And he goes on to mention our great milas, I have no yeshiva das. And at this time, he says, I'm not able to answer the questions that were posed to him. Noda B'Yehuda writes, in addition, also Noda B'Yehuda wrote in his tzavoa. And by the way, anybody who goes to Prague can see it. He writes about that his matzeva has to be extra small. And he says it should not cost more than, he mentions a couple of pennies over there. It shouldn't cost any more than that, he says. But my wife's matzeva has to be at least two or three times taller than mine. And if you go there, you see the Prague, you'll see the two matzevas, him and his Rebbetzin, his matzeva. And if you're going to look for it, and you see, looking for the big matzeva. No, it's a small one. That's a small matzeva, that's a matzeva in the Yehuda. And the tall one is his Rebbetzin. However, you know, the Kehila Sof Kosof wanted to give the Noda B'Yehuda his due. And how do you have, you know, Igodol B'Yisroel, especially the Abbez and the Rav of the town, the city, giving such a small matzeves? So what do they do? So when his son, his Mamalamokim, Reb Shmuel Landau, was nifter, so of course there's a large matzev on Reb Shmuel, and on the back he says, Reb Shmuel was the son of the Noda B'Yehuda. You know who he was? And they write a whole along with that about the Noda B'Yehuda. So they basically complied with all wishes, with their wishes, and with the Noda B'Yehuda's wishes as well. Let me just mention, this happens to be, of course, starting now soon, Chodesh Tammuz. We already benched Chodesh Tammuz. So Skedai just to mention just a few words that the Tshuva Mahava, when he talks about the greatness of the Noda B'Yehuda, again, he was the Talmud of the Noda B'Yehuda, basically he writes like this, and it's just fascinating, it's even mind-boggling when you hear, you know, how the Talmud, Reb Lezer Fleklis, when he writes about the Noda B'Yehuda. He says, first of all, he says, he says, his entire life until close to old age, he says, he never says went to sleep. Chatzos never found him asleep. You know, he was always up. He was up very, very late. But that's not the point, he was up late. He never slept at Chatzos. Every night he would do like Tikkun Chatzos. Every night would be mekainen, he would wail, he would mourn on Chorban Beis Hamikdash, v'golus hashchina, and on golus hashchina. This was his practice, he says, at somach l'zeknosoi. B'kayus u'b'chayiv, whether winter or summer, hu hoyim o'irir hashachar. He was always way up, way ahead before daybreak, and he was mechaber yoyim v'layla b'toyra b'tfila. Because when morning came, right from when the transition between night and day, he was busy learning, so he basically connected. He connected night and day with Torah and Tefillah, because he was up, and he was Isaac with Avodah. He gave shir, tell that to Rosh Yeshiva today, not once a week, not twice a week, every day, four times a day. Every day, four times a day. As he says, Arbo prokim b'chol yoyim kova lilmoid im talmidim shir in the Raisa. Four times a day he gave shir. Guess what? So, four times, what was it? Not to the same Talmidim. Be'eila mesechta zu, u'be'eila mesechta zu. He was able to do, in the same day, different shurim on different mesechtas, and be'eila shulchan aruch zeh, u'be'eila shulchan aruch acha. And with other different shulchan aruch. So, in totally different topics, every single day, he was gave shir four times a day. And, he says, Yom Kippur, me'erev ad erev, 24 hours, okay? So, we fast 24 hours. The Yehuda, in addition to fasting 24 hours, what did he do? Me'erev ad erev loizoz memkoimoy, did not move from his place in the shul. Loinoch v'loishokat, did not rest. Laf apov loinos antruma, no sleep.
the entire 24 hours, rak bakoshes utfilis bekoile koiles bebchias beyalolis, with crying and wailing. This is the avoda he writes of the Nadi Behuda. And then he writes, he saw his face after he passed away. And he writes, Mishloiro Shufra Drabeinu Hagodl. We did not see, he says, the beauty of our great Rebbe, Bishas Pitirosoi, Ubishas Taharosa, when he did the Tahara, Leiro Shufra Moilam, never saw countenance, never saw such beauty, never saw such appearance. He goes on to say. And then he says, you'll never find anyone like him. He says, El mi tedamei, who can compare to him? Im timtzu godol b'teire, charif u'boki kavose. Assuming you find someone in Teire who is as great, a charif, sharp, and a boki like him, lo timtzu godol b'yire kavose. You'll not find somebody great in Yerushalayim like the Nadi Behuda. He says, ad shehigil me'azikna, until he became old, lo shochev al hamita. Did not sleep in bed. So what did he do? He did sleep in a bed. But you know how he slept in a bed? Maybe it's not kedai to sleep in a bed the way he did. Nobody slept. His head was on a pillow on the bed. On chairs. Only his head was rested on the bed, he says. Ad ze chodesh yomim, he says. Till now, lately, like poshet malbushev mo'ilam ablaila. Never undressed. Ad shigila me, he says, haseva. And then he says, lovash sakal besore. He would wear sackcloth. He gave shirah always standing. This is just a rabbi said. It's just a mixes be mixes. You have an idea how a godol b'Yisrael becomes a godol b'Yisrael that goes down to history in all time. So this was the avodah. God is b'toyre, God is b'yir, Yerushalayim, said tremendous things. So the Nadi Behuda, as we're talking about in relation to Chovas Halavos, I have a little picture of the Nadi Behuda. There is a very, one of the most fascinating cubits, if you can say that, in the Nadi Behuda, regarding a shaila that someone asked him, who revealed in secrecy to him that he was over a terrible avera. And that is, he says, that after the chasana, he says, him and his new wife, they didn't have their own apartment, so they lived with the in-laws. And a terrible avera, he said, he got involved with his mother-in-law. And Mamela, he's asking the Yehuda to give him a tshuva. What is he supposed to do in order to do tshuva? So there's a long, long things he says. He says, I'm not going to make it difficult. I'm telling you, it's two pages of things he asked him to do. He says, I'm not going to make it difficult on him. He says, it's Kedai wants to go through that tshuva itself. That itself, and Aseres Yemei tshuva, that's the best musar, just to go through that tshuva in the Yehuda. But what's negay to us, he says, among all the other things he says, Hasmoda b'Teire, he says, he iker. He says, learning Torah, he says, Hasamad b'Torah, be diligent in learning Torah. That Iker, he says, Amitis v'lima Torah sheish b'mamish, but learning. You know, learning, people can learn a lot of things. You open up a safe for learning, depends what you're learning. So you have to learn something, you have mamish, he says, Mishnayis, let's say, Chazal b'oimiko iun, he says, you have to learn. But then he says, you have to learn Musar also. And then he says, V'gam, he says, Sifrei Musar, Chovas Halavos, he says. So he tells him that part of his Seder of Tshuva is Chovas Halavos, but he says interesting things, something we mentioned already from other Gedolim, the same thing. Min achar Shar HaYichud Ad Gemira. Now you'll start after Shar HaYichud and go to the end, he says, and you should study the Sefer Chovas Halavos. Shar HaYichud is the Shar of Unity, because that involves a lot of philosophy, and the Rebbe did not advise him to get into that, because that's philosophical situations regarding the Yemun itself, whereas sometimes a person who's not strong enough might even slip. You get new ideas. So in any case, so this is the Nadi Behuda here, where he is advising, as we see here, to learn Chovas Halavos. So let's take a look here again. Let's take a look here at the sheet and take a look. What we have here is really a tshuva. We start out a tshuva from the Igros Moshe in Yeridei Chelagim Sabnayin Aleph, and people have heard, anybody who heard a pulpit rabbi, you know, talk about how to be mechanech children in America, probably have already came across, you know, what Rav Moshe's idea was, notion, try to explain the fact. I myself should have mentioned a number of times in various opportunities, but here you'll see it, here you see it in print. Rav Moshe was the one who espoused the idea of the fact that people who came out of Europe, and there were Talmidei Chachamim, and there were people who were Shem Ritoyim Mitzvahs, and yet their children in America were not Matzliach. They were not Matzliach with their children. They themselves were Choshev people, and they themselves were very committed, and yet for some reason they were not matzliach to be mechanel the children in America. The idea that Moshe says is, you know why? Because there was a lot of nesionist challenges. For example, to keep Shabbos was very difficult. Now he says, now if a father, in fact, if a father himself meets the challenge and keeps Shabbos, but you know, when he sits at the Shabbos table and says, oh, it's so difficult, oh, it's so difficult. So the son says, you know what, you're strong, I'm not. But if the father says, it's a pleasure, he says, to sacrifice for Shabbos. The father gives the point in the show how choshev it is. He doesn't make it an assayin, does not make it into a test. Then, with that kind of attitude, you'll be matzliach and successful to transmit, he says, further to the children. But the children see it as a challenge that the father and the parents have to meet. The children say, you know what, you're strong, I'm not as strong as you are. And this is the notion, this we see here, Moshe says it over here. Inshallah, the Shuvah Sigris Moshe, let's take a look. And he himself says it in the Shuvah, he says, Kvar Amarti Kam upon him. The Moshe himself, I said it many times, he was very strong about that idea. Kiyesh Odom, you could have a person who should show Torah mitzvahs, Ubonov and his children, loy die, not enough, shelo yilmedu memenu, lekayim gam ken haTorah mitzvaseo, with his children, not enough that they don't learn from him, right, to keep the Torah mitzvahs, Elohu mibli mesim. Ramosha said, the father doesn't realize, it's not that children don't learn from him, he himself teaches them the other way, and the parents don't grasp it. Ramosha says, you can be frum and not realizing that the way you keep your Yiddishkeit, you yourself are distancing your children. So not only your children are not learning from you, it's just the opposite. They're learning from you to do the opposite, he points out. You don't realize it. El Mabli Mason, without understanding, Ramosha says, Malamidoisam Chaz Visholem Lehefech. He Chaz Visholem teach them the opposite. How? Because when the children see the Avim, Hoyamachshiv Lamoshal Shemira Shabbos. Let's say they see that the father, that he really considers Shabbos to be important. But he sees that Shuhu in the soy in the form of. He sees that the father takes it as extreme test. Machmas, because he says, the father says, oh, you know, I says to his son, he said Shabbos. He said, yeah, he's keeping Shabbos. But he said to the son, do you know how much I could have earned? Do you know how much I'm sacrificing for Shabbos? He thinks he's saying something positive to his child. It's just the opposite. Because the greater that he makes it a sacrifice, he's making it more difficult for the new generation. So the father is telling him, when they see, oh, I could have, if not for Shabbos, I could have continued to be Isaac in business, be involved in business. I could have profited Sach Godel. But because of Shabbos, I'm not doing it. So what he's telling the children is, look what I'm sacrificing for Shabbos. That's a chesaron gadol. It's a tremendous deficiency when it comes to chinuch habanim. Mishum why? Shekivin shiroyim, because of the children see. Shehu nesoyin, once the father put it on the pedestal as being a test. He says, Harei loy kol odam yochali is gibor. So not everybody is strong enough. Lichboy shes yisroy to conquer yeyetzahar v'lamad b'nesoyin. Not everybody is able of passing tests. The Rayonim is Palalim, we are Mispalal, in fact, every day, Bechol Yoim Bebirchas HaShachar, in the morning brokers, Al Tivieni L'Dein Nisoyin. So you clearly see that to bring yourself to a test, certainly that's not a good idea, certainly not to put yourself in such positions. V'zeh Yovi, and that kind of an attitude will only cause, Shabonim, he says, Ozvu Toiris Hashem, that they left it. However, says Ramosha, Acho Odom HaNovoin, but a person who is a smart person, an understanding person, the Moshe wants to point out why really, how a person should view it and not consider it a sacrifice. Why should he not consider, for example, the fact that he's not working on Shabbos? What would be the logic, right, to impress upon a person that he should not view it as really sacrificing? But Moshe suggests two reasons how to view it. Choda, number one, Shayadeya, because if a person knows Shashem Yizborach, Kotzav Loim Rezoi Noisov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really fixed for the year, when Rosh Hashanah comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fixes for the year what you're going to earn the year. V'chol HaRevachim, all the profits Shiyuloi. So it's fixed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fixes and allots and designates every person what he's going to have, which means Ubilodov, besides what Hashem designated, I'efshe Lahasega Prutachas. Above and beyond what Hashem decided, you're not going to make even one extra pruta, as much as you think you're going to be able to. Lochein, so therefore, Av she'einoi noisin b'lishu meisek, so avada, Hashem wants you to do your shtadlis. In other words, Hashem said you're going to make kach v'kach this year, but only if you do what you have to do. So avada, a person is not excused from sitting back. You have to do your shtadlis, you have to put in your effort. He says, "Mitzad shenigzar, because there's a gzeira b'zeis apechot oichalechem. So there was a gzeira by the sweat of your brow. So you do have to work, even though it's already preordained, minashamayim, what you're going to earn, but you still at the same time have to do your share that you have to do. Avul bor, that's clear. For Moshe said, when it said b'zeis apechot oichalechem, didn't mean to do an iser to be over on Shabbos and Yontif. And it can't be that by being mekayim the iser, by complying Shmir Shabbat, that you're going to get less than the lot that Hashem designated you for the year. How can it be that you'll be punished by keeping the mitzvahs that Hashem is not going to give you what He promised you, which Hashem promises and fixes for the year? So how can it be that you should lose out what Hashem wants you to have because you listened to Hashem and you did not work on Shabbos? How could that be? Can't be such a thing. So Avul Borish and Nigzarak, the Gzer B'Zer Sapecha was Nigzarak al Yomim Hamutorim, day that it's Mutar Lati B'Melocha. The gzera b'zeis apecha by the sweat of your brow was not for Shabbos and Yontif, which was surim, which is prohibited at that time. The af le'al ha'shoah is also not on the time. B'zeis apecha does not mean at the expense of not davening every day or doing what you have to do. So if you realize that what you have to make for the year is already designated for you, it's preordained. If you realize that, so you're not really losing. Because that which you have to earn, for sure, you're going to earn it during the week. So that's he says, that's svar number one. That's the first chelik. That's the first idea how a person should view. A person should view his lot in life. A person should view, this is the notion, and therefore will not really feel that you only feel that you're sacrificing by keeping Shabbos because you think that you're losing if you keep Shabbos. But if you understand and view that Hashem really has designated for the year what you're going to make, so how's it possible that by listening to Hashem, says, and by not working Shabbos, so Hashem is going to take it away from you? Does it mean Hashem wants you to work on Shabbos to have what He promised you when Hashem Himself ordained that you shouldn't? So therefore, you're not going to really lose. That's the point. So you're not really sacrificing. If you understand that, if you have that amunah. But then he goes further. Roy. But let's assume, he says, he comes out with another idea. Let's assume that because of Shabbos, you are losing. Let's assume that if you would have worked Shabbos throughout the year, could have made an extra $20,000 a year. It's the mashal. Right? Let's say you are losing because of Shabbos. So Moshe gives the following mashal. Person wants to build a house. Listen to this. You can see how times have changed. Moshe says, a person wants to build a house, he's ready even to pay $50,000. Imagine how time, $50,000 to build a house. How about $500,000? So Moshe says, so imagine if a person wants to build a house, he's going to allow it to cost him $50,000. He doesn't look at it that he lost $50,000. Why? He gained the house. Even though you took out $50,000, you have $50,000 less, but on the other side you have a house. Rav Moshe says, if Shabbos costs you $20,000, but you have Shabbos, you gain Shabbos. You realize what it means to gain Shabbos. In other words, when a person understands what Shabbos means and what he gains by having Shabbos, he does not look the money on the other side as a loss. The same way that when you're spending money to buy a house, you're not looking at the money that you're giving out, that you're expending, that you lost that money. You gained the house. You gained Shabbos. Says Rav Moshe further. Void. So again, he says, reason number one is the truth is you're not losing altogether. That's the truth. Because Hashem already ordained what you're going to make for the year. So you're not losing. But even, he says, but even if you're not that Bamadrega, your amun is not that strong. In your eyes, it appears to you that you're losing because of Shabbos. Is it losing? You got Shabbos. You have to understand what Shabbos means. So you gain Shabbos. Void, he says. And second, even if a person hisik, even though a person did not reach that amunah, then he really believes, assuming that the person is not such a high madrega, doesn't have that amunah, and he believes that had he worked on Shabbos, he would have earned more. Gamkein still says Rav Moshe, ein zeh nisoyin. It should not really be a test. Someone who really loves Shabbos. If you really love Shabbos, why do you love Shabbos? Because it's a mitzvah Hashem. Shu mitzvah Hashem is borach. Shechaviv azu, because the love of Shabbos. Shabbos so precious that it's worth, he says, that shove kol mashi hifsed al yidei Shabbos. Ukemoi. Now he gives the example we mentioned. Ukemoi shechazin, and we see every day. Shekama anoshim moitziin sach godol, many people spend a lot of money. Liv noiz dira noah. They have no problem spending a lot of money to build a beautiful house. The Yesh, and even some people go even up to $50,000. So even. The Yesh Apple Chamisha Melov dollars. You can see how times have changed. So, and some will even spend $50,000. Why they do that? He says. The Yesh. And not only they won't complain. They won't complain on the money. But the Bamish, they're happy. They're happy they got the house. They have this beautiful house. What about the money that they lost? No. Look what I got instead of it. So the chen hu mamish, the same idea, says Rav Moshe. Lemi shehifsid b'shilo Shabbos. The same thing is regarding a person that feels that he lost because of Shabbos. Shlohoye yoche lasuk b'malachto, he couldn't work. Shah Shabbos shove, but the Shabbos is worth hasach shehifsid v'yoyser v'yoyser. The Shabbos is worth much, much more than that. The Yeshua Lehanes, and therefore he should have hanor. He should have pleasure from that alone. That what he has achieved, what he has acquired, and that Shabbos he acquired. Shehisi kiyum mitzvah Shabbos besach. Okay, Shabbos cost me $20,000. That should be a tremendous gain. He was able to buy Shabbos for $20,000. Okay, shereim habonim. Now, if the person has this attitude, and children see that Shabbos is not a challenge, and that's, by the way, that's the same thing symbolic of any area of Yiddishkeit. In any area, when children see what a pleasure, he says, that the parent has in keeping the mitzvahs, then it's quite easier to transmit it, he says. Kshereim habonim, and the children see, eich she Shabbos choviv kol kach, she shovev kol kesev azov shebeolam. The Shabbos outweighs all the gold and silver in the world. And in addition, the gam shebem is to mafzik, and the truth he's not really losing. But Moshe said, but even if you want to say that he is losing, Shabbos is worth it. But you're not really losing. The whole thing, you don't need it. Shabbos does not make you lose. Ela adrabahu maviach mizechai netzach. He gains on account of Shabbos also. He gains eternal life. And through Shabbos, Shabbos brings a lot of bracha into everyday life. Not just Shabbos. Shabbos spills over into the entire week. The whole week is blessed because of Shabbos. The gam shaleah Shabbos zoche gam bebirchas boilam bracha boilam mazeh. He zoche the bracha in this world. Harei ashpi aleim. Then he'll be able to have ashpo, he'll have influence on his children. This attitude, if you have, you're not keeping Shabbos with a krechts. You're not keeping Shabbos with a groan. You are not keeping the mitzvahs, he says, by being feeling that you're forced to do it. You have no choice. If you do it b'simcha, with happiness, you'll be mashpi aleim shegam heim yekayimu b'simcha mitzvahs haShabbos, and the same thing should be also with all the mitzvahs. Interesting, as just an extension of this idea, you know, what a person's attitude should be regarding, you know, as he earns his livelihood on a daily basis. Sefer Shaila Torah is a sefer that brought together Torahs from the Brisker dynasty, from all. It could be from Reb Chaim, could be from Reb Chaim Brisker's father, the Beis Halevi, Reb Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, and so on further. So it brings here that Maisa B'Talmidah, he brings to Reb Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, which is the Beis Halevi, a Talmud of Reb Yosef Soloveitchik, the Beis Halevi, Zatzal, Shela'achah Shinoi Slimud Rabbis, a Talmud who really was learning for many years. Okar le'ir acheres, he moved to a different town, to a different city, and he went into business. V'hochei la'asik b'mischa l'panosas b'nei beisoi, and he entered into a business to support his family. B'tchil, in the beginning, he actually divided up the day. In other words, so many hours he's going to devote to his business, and a chelik of the day, and a part of the day, he also set aside time for learning. That's the way it started. B'tchilo oid hikpid al sidrei limud temidin kesidron on a regular basis. Mitach amkus. As a matter of fact, he learned very deeply. He had a good seder in learning every day. Kefi shehurgal b'shnois limudoi. He learned the same way with the same type of seriousness as he was used to when he was next to his Rebbe, the Beis Halevi. But as years went by, he got caught up in the world of business, which tore him away all the more and more from his studies. So Barabbi Sashonim kishegovru all of Tirdoisov. He says when he became extra busy, then hepach loishu, and of course he became rich. Oishu gogol, posak melimadatoyri, he stopped learning. V'ine yire. After a while, what happened was, in his damin ha-beis alevi b'le'ira she-talmidoi. And it turns out that one year that the Beis Halevi happened to visit the town of his old Talmud. Many years he didn't see him. And finally, after many, many years, the Beis Halevi comes and he sees his Talmud, he finds out his Talmud. Ubo'is the Talmud levakir's rabbi ho'ohuv. And the Talmud came, of course, to visit his beloved Rebbe, who was really close to him years, years ago. Miyad kishenichnes, the first moment that the Talmud comes in, Shu'ala Beis Halevi, the first question the Beis Halevi asked him, he says, Mahin choysa, what do you do? Oh, what do I do? She starts telling him about his business. So Ameiwa Talmud, et Isuka b'mischa, start to tell him what he does. He told him exactly the nature of his business. Beis Halevi repeats the question. Shuv shu'al Rabbi. His Rabbi asked again, Mo ato oise, what are you doing? What do you do? Ameiwa Talmud, so he figured maybe he didn't elaborate enough. So he tells him more details about his business. Ameihu, he says, he answered him, b'yeser hochovo. He answered with more details. The Sipra Larabo, and he tells his Rebbe all the Givaldi tremendous things, his great achievements, his great success, his called for all of Hagdoilim. Hivsikra Besalai, Besalai stopped in the middle. Vomaloi, listen. Everything that you are telling me, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. I asked you what you're doing. That's not what you're doing. You tell me all about the business, all about your successes. That's not what you're doing. Elohei Maisov Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I ask you what you're doing is in your spiritual life, because that you do, because Shem is not going to do it for you. That's what I want to know. What are you doing? Everything you're telling me, all your successes, all your achievements, your material world, you're not doing it. That's not my question. All these things that Kodesh Baruch was doing. That's the point that he brought out. It's Kedai just to conclude this segment. That is with, these are immortal words from Rabbi Yankiv Emden, who we discussed actually last week. We find out here these are famous words, and Rav Shach once also repeated these words of Rabbi Yankiv Emden. Rav Yankiv writes it in the Hagdoma to his Siddur, and he says, you know, of all the miracles in the history of the Jewish people, the greatest miracle, you know what the greatest miracle is? The greatest miracle is that we are surviving still today. Of all the nisim, you can go through Yetzias Mitzrayim, you can talk about the 10 Makos, you can talk about Kriyas Yam, so the splitting of the Yam. Any miracle you can point to, Rabbi Yankiv Emden says, the greatest miracle of all miracles is that we are here today. He says, in spite of the fact that we are surrounded throughout history, it hasn't stopped, from enemies from out and from within, from all over, and yet we are here. And he goes on to say like this. Listen to the words, listen to the lashon. You know what he says? Our survival here is greater than the nisim of Mitzrayim. All the nisim that have Mitzrayim do not amount to the very fact that we are here, that we are existing. That Am Yisrael still exists. Our greater nisim is a greater ness than all of Yitzis Mitzrayim. This is Loshim. He says the following, very dramatic way that he puts it. Rabbi Yankiv Emden says, Umi ha'iver. He says, who is blind? She'ein ha'roye, who cannot see Kishur Oilam ha'tachton belin. Have to see how this world is connected with the upper world. Who is blind that cannot see it? Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one who allows this world to exist, who allows things that happen in it to be the way they are. The Eine Hashgachosoy Aleim Tom. The Kodesh Baruch Hu's eyes are always upon us. The Eich, he says, Lo Yevush HaKoyfer. He says, how can the non-believer not be embarrassed? He says, we can't see openly that there is divine supervision. How can the non-believer not be embarrassed by Hashgach and the Yamoy Nichlam? In stand, he says, should stand in shame. He says, Mishay Ayin, somebody who clearly, who looks, all you have to do is look clearly. Beyichud in Yonenu, let him look at our Inyan. Umamadenim Oilam, and to take a look, see our being here in this world. Anachnu Ha'uma, we are the nation, Hagoyla, that has been exiled. He says, like Set Pizura, like a lamb, like a lonely lamb. Achakoma Sha'over Aleinu Matsoris, Vatmurais Al Bofim Hashonim, thousands of years. All these different types of tzaris. The Ein Uma Be'olam Nirdefes Kamoinu, there's not a nation or a people that has been pursued as we have been pursued. Smarabim Hoya Tzareinu. He says, how tremendous the amount of our enemies. Mo'otzmu, how strong, how powerful. Nosu Reisha Komim Oleinu Minareinu. How powerful, he says, leaders of all nations, different nations, try to destroy us. Lashmidenu, La'akreinu, to uproot us. Lishoshenu. He says, Mipnei Asina, because of the hatred. Shesiboso Hakina, which is the jealousy, Rabba Sarorenu. Gami says, he says, the fact is, Lo Yochol La'abdeinu L'chaliseinu Kol Ha'umas Hagdumois V'atumois Ovad Zichrom. All of those who tried to destroy us, they are gone. Ovad Zichrom, the earlier nations, go down to history. Their Zecha, their memory has been wiped out. Botol Sivrom, their hope, Sar Tzilom. Nothing is left. None of the shade is left even. But V'ono Adveikim B'Hashem, but we who are connected to Hashem, Kulonu Chayim Hayoyim, we are still here today. V'nifkav Menu. We are the same Klal Yisrael, he says, no less than throughout the length of the Golus. He says, not missing, he says, one letter of the Torah. The Torah has been preserved. The Torah has been preserved throughout all of the ages. Even a dot, he says, from the written Torah. And v'chol divrei chachamim kayomim lo yochlo la'aretz, he says, michlam, no land was able to destroy our Torah. Lo yishor bem yad hazman, usually time is a destroyer. Time destroys history. But our Torah, he says, survived it all. And the length of time, the tzoras of time, was not able, he says, to destroy the Torah that we have. Mayan, he says, philosoph charef, what will the, says, the sharp philosopher try to say and to answer this? Hayad amikra, is this just a mikra? Can this be just chance that we are surviving? Hayad amikra, also sekolele, chaye nafshi. Now here look what he says. I swear, Rabbi Yankiv Emden says, I swear to you, he says, ki behizbeinaneri behinifloes ele, because when I think about this tremendous pele, this tremendous phenomenon that we still exist today, when I think about it, Godlu etli yoyisim mikol nisim v'nifloyis she'ot Hashem yizbarach la'vaseinu b'mitzrayim b'midbar b'eretz Yisrael. Of all of the nisim that Hashem did, Mitzrayim, the midbar, mon, you can think of tremendous nisim, mon for mishamayim. Do you ever see any greater nisim than that? Mon and mishamayim. Doesn't make a difference. I swear to you, he says, that's a bigger miracle. The fact that we are healed today, that we are surviving. In spite, he says, against all odds. And he says, the longer the goal is, the longer the exile, the nest, he says, becomes greater. Because the fact that we're able to exist every day that we exist, one more day. And we recognize, of course, the strength of the nest and the gevurah. Besides the fact that he points out that the Nevi'im already have taught us and really complained and bemoaned the fact of the tremendous length of the golus, but the Nevi'im also told us that we're going to survive. He points out, he says, who can deny that, he says, and he ends up, he says, can see that kilikei olam Hashem, he says, and we should have to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly, because we see the hand of Hashem is upon us, and Amela, that is the secret of our survival. This no chokhmah has nothing to do with brains, it's one, we have a shomer, we have one who watches over us, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the answer. Atkan losh nayavitz. This is what Rav Yankiv Emden mentions. And these words of Rav Yankiv Emden have been repeated by many, many people. As I mentioned, Rav Shach in a Shemuzer too. It's printed also in his Haggadah. Also mentions that it's greater than Yitzis Mitzrayim, the El Nissim, the fact that we are here today. So if anybody needs any proof, don't have to look further. The fact that we exist in spite of all the oppression and of all the tzaras, that should tell us that there is a Boir Olam who is watching over us. Because of the Chayvus Havoris, okay, in the Chayvus Havoris, in the regular Chayvus Havoris, it's on Daf Resh Mem Gimel. Go to Resh Mem Gimel, and it's seven lines from the bottom. And you'll see the Chayvus Havoris again, you'll see on what a lofty madrega he was. It's be quite difficult for a regular person to have the attitude of the Chayvus Havoris. But the fact that you see how his attitudes were, that alone should just tell us and to see, you know, how much more we have to climb on that lofty ladder to reach, you know, how far we are from the top. The Chavis Avavis in this segment, again, it's seven lines from the bottom, it begins, Avol in Yone Oivov. If you find it, Resh Mem Gimel, seven lines from the bottom. Avol in Yone Oivov. The Chavis Avavis here really wants to explain to us the attitude one has to his enemies. And you ask anybody, what attitude you have to your enemies? Well, you can't wait to destroy him. He's an enemy. Chazavavis has different ideas. And you'll see why he has different ideas. Chazavavis says the following. He said, the way to deal with one's enemies and choymdov, choymdov means those who are envious of you. How do you deal with enemies and those who are envious of you? Umevakshe reyosoi, people who seek your harm. How do you deal with them? So he says, first of all, you have an enemy, realize, yiftach b'inyoneim al habayre yisaleh. Well, the first thing is, you have to have trust and faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he will protect you. And he goes on further. And as a result, you have faith in Hashem, so v'yizboil cherposam, not easy to do, you bear the scorn. Not easy to do, v'yizboil cherposam. Not only that, val yigmor lahem kipo'olam, don't pay back in kind. Very difficult to do. But more difficult, he says, achig malem chesed. Maybe he means kill them with kindness. So, but that's what he says. Begoyim chesed v'yasa lahem kol ma sheyuchal asoy soy min atoiv. You see what he says? Do whatever you can do. Do good. The Yitzkoy Beliboy, because he says a person should remember that the truth is, good or bad, that happens to you really comes from Shemayim. The people that do it are just vehicles, points out the Chovos of others. The Yitzkoy Beliboy, because you remember always, make sure, keep in mind, Shetoyaltoy, whether your benefit, or the Niskoy, or your harm, Beyad HaBoyre Yisale, it comes from Hashem. V'im Yiyeh Sibela HaZikoy, and if Hashem uses people, that they should be vehicles to harm you, so be done the people of Kavzchus, judge the people of Kavzchus, that it's not coming from them, it's stemming from Hashemayim, Yachshev Aleihem Toiv, judge them favorably, be Malamed Zchus. And therefore, what should you think about the situation? Well, if that is happening, maybe it means it's a simam and a shemaim that you should do tshuva. So therefore, v'yachshid is atzmoi. So rather than worrying about who's doing it to you, ask the question is, why is it happening to you? And if you answer the question, why is it happening, then you come to the conclusion, he says, v'yachshid is atzmoi, you should suspect yourself, umaysov b'roya hagdomoysov. Probably I must have done something in the hagdome. Previously I must have done something that is not so good. Eitzel elikov, in the eyes of Hashem. I probably did something not so good. And therefore, v'yishchan elikim. So if you have enemies, he says, you pray to Hashem. You beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yivakesh mufonav l'chaper avinoysov. And beseech Hashem that he should be mechaper, that he should atone for your avarice. The oz you'll see yeshuvu oivav la'avosoi. You'll find out that your enemies will be turning into friends. Chavis avodis. It's a madrega to follow this type of a thought. K'mashom ha'chocham. Because we find that the chocham, of course, of all wise men, Shlomo HaMelech said in Mishlei, b'ritzois Hashem darkeish. When Hashem is pleased with a man, gam oivav yashlemitoi. So then his enemies will also make peace with him. So all is, you make your arrangements with Hashem, the rest will fall into place. This is the Chavis Avodis attitude. So no matter what, you have enemies, instead of worrying how to fight the enemy, he says, think about what your relationship is with Hashem. Rectify that relationship. Connect with Hashem. The more you connect with Hashem, and you clear out the separation between you and Hashem, you'll find out that also that your enemies will make peace with you. Because that's what the Pasuk says. It really is your attitude with Hashem. The rest fall in the place of Mamela. That's the source of it. Come to Chavis Avodis now, and he talks about a fourth group of people. And the Chavis basically in this segment is going to make the following point. That, yeah, we talk about bitochen so many times, the importance and the chashiv is what bitochen means. We talk about bitochen, the idea man has to have trust not in his own strengths, not in his own koiches, in his own power, but a man has to be a bitoch b'Hashem, has to have faith and trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chavis Avodis now is going to make a point that is only, he says, in worldly affairs, not when it comes to mitzvahs. When it comes to mitzvahs, you have choice. So it's not that I have trust in Hashem, that Hashem is going to push me to do the right thing. No, Hashem is not going to push you to do the right thing. You're going to have the information available if you study, and you're going to know what you have to be doing. You have to make the choice. However, to carry it out, that's not always within your ability. There Hashem will help you if you're ready to do it. Chavis Avodis is going to point out in this segment that from the initiation of any venture till it's carried out, there are three steps from the beginning of an idea till it's carried out. Well, the first thing, you have to have an idea, you want to do something. The idea, you want to do something. The second thing is you have to confirm that you're ready to do it. Because sometimes I put out the plan, I'm going to do it. When? Maybe today, tomorrow, then. So the next step has to be, no, I'm ready to do it now. I'm ready to do it. First you have to want to do it. And then you have to say, I'm ready to do it. So once you have the resolve, you have the commitment. So now, to carry it out, to be successful, here you can have bitochen. However, in the commitment, in the initial commitment to do a mitzvah, or to do a good deed, to resolve to do a mitzvah, no bitochen on that. That's up to you. That's choice. You have the ability to choose, and that's not the area of bitochen. The person says, I'll rely on Hashem. I'll bitochen that Hashem will make me do the right thing. Hashem will push me to do it. No, Hashem is not going to push you to do the right thing. But if you really choose to do the right thing, Hashem will help you carry it out. Because carrying it out really is not the power of the human being all the time. As he points out, it's a practical matter. If a person wants to give tzedakah, well, maybe I don't have the money all the time. Or maybe I don't have an oni in front of me. Maybe I don't have the poor man in front of me. So Hashem will either make an oni available, or maybe he'll give you a few dollars. A person wants to build a sukkah. Well, maybe I won't have wood. So I may want to build a sukkah. I may want to do it, I'm committed, but to carry it out is not always within my power. But if you really want to, so on that area, to carry it out, on the carrying out, at that end, you could have bitochen. I'm trusting in Hashem, that Hashem will help me and give me the ability. But on the first two phases, commitment, resolve, right? Machshove, intent. These phases, no bitochen. That's up to you to do it yourself. And this is what the Chayyim Sof is saying. Let's take a look. He says, Upirich Achelik Revi. He's talking now about a fourth group of people, namely regarding things that involving yourself, doing mitzvahs in your own spiritual life, not dealing with other people. Things that are only yourself, which contains situations with your own spiritual life. Would be inyone, he calls it Chayvus Avodah, the name of the Sefer. Things, duties of your own heart. I'm talking to you now about your obligations that you have to discharge for yourself. He says, which are duties of the heart and your limbs. To use your limbs to do these mitzvahs. With that effect, the person alone, in whether his life to benefit him or to harm him. In other words, if he's not going to do the mitzvahs properly. Vizef, what I'm talking about specifically, Bitzoyim, comes to fasting, when you're supposed to fast. Let's say Yom Kippur. The Katfila, about davening. The Sukkah, making a Sukkah. Lulav, the Sheikah Lulav, Tzitzis, Shemir Shabbos, Hamayadim, and also Vihimonim Naveris, and to prevent yourself from doing Averis. And he says, V'chol Chayvis Alvovois Asheloi, he says, Tavoino El Zolosoi. I'm talking about duties of the heart that has no bearing on other people, only on you. That's what this segment I'm talking about, you. I'm not talking about anything that has no bearing on other people. Now, as if you put on tefillin or not, have nothing to do with somebody else. I'm talking about your duties. The benefit of these duties, v'niskan or the harm, miyuchados boy. We're talking about things that affect only you. Miblishar b'nei odom. Not dealing now what effect they have on other people. So he said like this. So, ofne yoshua habitochen. Where does bitochen come in into the life of mitzvahs? Where does bitochen come in? In worldly affairs, in material affairs, bitochen comes in all the way. Because it's not you. It's not your power. It's not your doing. It's nothing. It's Hashem who's going to determine your hatzlocha. But when it comes to doing mitzvahs, ofne yosher, the way, the appropriate way of bitochen, bikulam, al holikim yizbarach, will be what? What's the bitochen? Where does bitochen come into mitzvahs? Masha ani mevaroisa, what I'm going to tell you in the next line. Umelakim eshal, very unusual. Chavis Avav says, I'm praying to Hashem that I should be able to explain it properly. Malakim Eshal, the Chavis Avav himself is writing. Malakim Eshal, I'm asking, beseeching Hashem, requesting from Hashem, Lehoiris Oisi, to teach me, Ho'em is Barachimov in His mercy. So now he says, I'm going to explain to you. I explain to you the role of Bitochim when it comes to Shemiras Amitzis. And he says as follows, Vahu. Ki Maise Hu Avoide Vu Havere. The act, Hu Avoide means either to serve Hashem. Avere means, of course, not to serve Hashem, to do an Avere. Lo Yiskenu Li Odom. A person will not be able to be successful. To do it, you need three phases. To do a mitzvah, or ultimately to do an avera, from the beginning to end, he says, you're going to have to go through three phases. What are the three phases? Ki'im bihi kovetz shloisha dvarim. You're going to have three factors that come into play. What are the three factors? Ho'echot. The first factor is, ha'bechira biliboy umatzpunoy. A person first has to make a choice in his heart and in his mind, that this is what I want to do. That's phase number one. Without making up your mind, you can do anything. So before a person does anything, you have to have first in his mind that he wants to do it. So the first thing, you have to have the choice. You got to make the choice. I'm making a choice. I want to do it. Vasheni, he says, besides the choice, he says, HaKavona Vaskoma, that's the intent and the resolve, really to be ready to do it. Lasois Masha Bochaboy. That which he chose, to have the resolve and the intent to go ahead and do it. Vashlishi is to do it. The third part is to actually do it. That of course to put an effort, ligmar ha-maise, right, to conclude the maise, he says, the evor of hanirim, with his outer limbs, that which can be seen, the yaitzi ehu, he says, al gedar ha-maise, to bring it into actuality. So that's now, these are the three phases. Choice, intent and resolve, and then to do it. Where does bitochen come in? In the first two phases, choice and intent and resolve, he says, there's no room for bitochen, because that you have to do yourself. The part that you are not able The part that the person does not have the ability, it's not up to him. That's the action part. The part of action, it's not always within his ability to actually do it. Because there are other factors that come into play. In that area, in the third phase, is where a person uses bitachon. Here he goes on. And he says the following. It's a little bit, the lotion is a little bit of a difficult lotion, which chayv salvav is bechlal, is not easy. He says, Uma she'einoy nelo memenu behem. In regard to that which is not removed from us, in other words, what's not removed from us? What's not removed from us is choice and intent. That we have the ability to do. Guess what? That which is not removed from you, you have to do yourself. Not bitachon. Choice is not removed from you. Intent is not removed to you. So that he says, as he says, kibchiras wa avoid of avera, the choice to do an avera, or to serve Hashem. He says, vakavona, or the intent, vahaskom ala maise, these things are not removed from you, that you have to do yourself. Therefore he says, habitochen alakim, a person wants to use bitochen on the first two is a big mistake, he says. There's no room for bitochen here. Because bechira is up to you. Haskom is up to you. Habitochen alakim bozeh, tos, it's erroneous, v'sichlus, and it's foolish. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu hiniach b'rishoseinu, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu left up to us b'chiras avidosoi, to choose to serve him or v'amroisoi, or to rebel. Kama shekosev, the Pesuk says, v'bachar toh b'chayim, it's up to you to choose life. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not leave. That's up to us. So therefore he says, so, but what don't we have in our rishus? Which chelik is not up to us? The chelik that's not up to us is to have the ability to always do it. The chelik ha-maisa is not always up to us. For he niach b'rishusenu, because Baruch Hu did not leave up to us hashlomas ha-maisa to carry out the act. Bavoido, that is whether to do the avoido or bavir. El besiboy shem chutzlonu, they are dependent. Action itself is dependent on many things that are external means. So we don't always have control over that. Because misdamnois bikseiritim, sometimes we have the means, misdamnois, and sometimes vinimnois biksosim, and sometimes you don't have the means. So therefore he goes on to say like this. So if you use bitochen in the wrong place, he says, it's not going to happen. Bitochen in the wrong place is, you expect through bitochen you're going to make the right choices. Through bitochen you're going to have the right intent, he says, it's not going to work. As he says, if a person relies on Hashem, on the very choice itself, there's no room for bitochen for that. Let's say a person says, he gives an example. A person will say, I'm not going to make my choice on my own. I will not resolve until Hashem chooses what's best for me. So I'm personally going to say, I'm going to wait until Hashem chooses for me. Somehow I'm going to find a sign in the Shemaim, or somehow. So it's never going to happen. If you're going to say, I'm not going to make the choice, I'm going to wait till Hashem chooses what's best for me, says, Kfar to'o mederech hayishor, he already strayed from the truth path, from the righteous path. He already strayed. Umu'adu raglov, and his feet deviated ma'ofne hanachoyne, from the right way. Okay, why? Because far as choosing, Hashem told us to choose. Ka'abayri is baruch v'at suvonu, we already commanded, livchoy b'maso v'avoido. Hashem commanded that we have to choose. Lechaven eleo, and we should have commitment and resolve. Bishtavlis v'askomu b'leif sholem, to have full intent, l'shmoy ha-godol, for the sake of His great name. V'hoidiyonu, because Baruch Hu taught us that shu efne hanachoyne, that is the appropriate way to achieve hatzloche b'olam hazeh and to achieve hatzloche b'olam haba. So what happens there for Rabbi Isai? The chelik that we can do, that's the choice, is to make the choice. That's our chelik. We can make the commitment. So what happened? We did our first two. We were not successful in the third part. We were not successful in actually doing the mitzvah. The chelik salvav is, you get credit. Even though you didn't, because the chelik hamaisa, the chelik of action, being that's not within your control, you're going to get credit for wanting to do the mitzvah, you're going to get credit for making the right choice, even if at the end you did not do the mitzvah. Because the chelik of the action, that's up to Hashem. And for some reason Hashem didn't do it, let you do it, you'll get credit for your part of it. Your part was the bechira. This is what he says in the next few lines. V'mizdamnu asibris, and if I have the abilities, he says, depends. If I have the abilities and I am successful, v'yitochin gemara ma'isa b'avodosoi, and it concludes with a proper action, asher kodmo b'chiraseinu, which started out with our choice. So mamela, now we actually, then we went full circle. Then avada, then you were successful. Yelon asocher hagodol, then avada, we're going to have tremendous char ala b'chira b'avodo, that we chose to do the service of Hashem. V'ala kavona lasoiso, and on the proper kavona. And we also get credit, of course, for the ma'isa. Even though Hashem helps us on the ma'isa, He gives us credit. V'ala shlomas ma'aseo, and carrying out the ma'isa be'ivorim hanirim, with the outer limbs that we have. And what happens if we were not successful in the action? And if our evarim, our limbs, will not be successful in carrying out the action, we still have schar. Yelonu schar habchir v'kavona. We don't lose schar for the first two parts, and that was the fact that we made the right choice, we had the right intent. Kasher zacharnu b'mashikodim, as we mentioned a moment ago, because that's up to us, and we did that. As long as we did that, so he said, Memel, we will get schar for that. So Rabbi Yisai, so this is the nekudas here that the Chavos Havavos puts out. The talking is a very important thing, but when it comes to Avodas Hashem, you really have to do the first two parts yourself. That's not where the talking comes in. The talking is very important. Bachlal, you know, Rav Moshe writes, again, Rav Moshe in Sefer Darash Moshe, Moshe makes a very strong point. He says, b'tochen, you know, when a person has sorrows, a person has problems, so now it's a test of faith. So a person, of course, who's about b'tochen, means that he places his trust in Hashem. So Moshe says, b'tochen, he says, which is a tremendous midah. Trust in Hashem is a tremendous midah. He says, you know what, on your tzoris, not on somebody else's tzoris. Somebody else knocks on your door and pours his heart out with a lot of problems. Don't give him a lecture on b'tochen. Have faith in Hashem, trust. You help him if you can, he says. B'tochen is a big miler, he says, and it's, that's when it comes to your own problems. But if you have him tzoris, he says, open up your wallet if you have a few dollars. If you have seichel, give him some advice. Do whatever you can in order to help the person. Let me tell you, Rabbi Yisai, there's a choshev yid again in the, talking about here in the area of Ashgacha Pratis, and it never ceases, you know, to find out. We see there's so many incidences and beautiful incidences. In Maisa Shehoya, it was a little bit sad actually. A Malamede Rebbe by the name of Reb Feivel Grossman, who was living in Eretz Yisrael for a number of years, and then came down to America. It came a Rebbe out of town, someplace like Detroit. Became a Rebbe, actually, at Yeshiva High School over there. And everything was going quite well. They had a family. They were happy parents of three children. And it turns out that they found out that there was a new child on the way. And, of course, they were overjoyed. It was the fourth child. But then the results of a standard blood test during the pregnancy brought their anticipation to a staggering halt. The blood test, another one, again, second time, confirmed the worst. And that was that child would be born with a dreadful type of a spinal cord disorder. It's called the spina bifida. And all types of medical advice came tumbling in, and they were told that one half children with severe cases would, in order to walk, would have to use braces and canes, and they spent the next few months in anguish. It was the month of June, like now, in 1988. A little baby was born, and they saw that their lives would be changed forever, actually, within weeks. They found out the situation quite serious. Now, a child that's born with this disease, with spina bifida, that usually requires an operation shortly after birth to drain accumulated fluid near the brain, which meant that it's going to delay the bris. So, and also, by the way, being that the bris is delayed, you know what that means? That the naming of the baby, B'derech Klal, is also delayed. So it means it gave them a little bit more time to think about what proper name would they give to this baby. That's the way it was. So this Reb Feivel Grossman once heard in the name of the stipler that the stipler had said, very interesting thing, he heard in the name of the stipler once said that in such a situation that when a boy is born with such a condition, it should be given the name Baruch. Why? Because Baruch means to be blessed, which is an expression both of a tefillah, it's a prayer and a hope for his welfare. He wrote that the name of the stipler. Baby born in such condition, give him a name Baruch. It's a tefillah and hope. Baby should be blessed. Hope that he will be blessed. So it's a bracha, a tefillah. This is what they heard. So they, Lemaisa, had a little qualms about that because they already had a daughter named Bracha. Their daughter named Bracha, so they felt uncomfortable. Now they have a boy, he can have a name Baruch. Very similar names. So you have a daughter named Bracha. And now he's going to give a name Baruch. So he was a Talmud of Shmuel Kamenetsky, revival. So he asked Rav Shmuel what to do. So Shmuel Kamenetsky suggested that despite the similarity of names, he should follow the Eitzah of the stipler. And in fact, yes, give the boy the name Baruch. And they still were not very comfortable with that. They were not sure to have two children with the same names. Meanwhile, the baby needed a second operation. The recuperation was slow, and the bris still could not be made. On a particular Friday, Revival goes to shul to Mincha in Kabbalah Shabbos, and he arrived early. So while waiting for davening to begin, he opens up a chumash. And opens up a chumash with the parish of Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch. And he comes to the parish, and I have here Rav Hirsch right over here. That's the one who read you the Lashon. And he starts to look into the parish. It was Parish Shlach, which was last week's parish. And the parish tells us, you all remember that Moshe Rabbeinu changed Yeshua's name. Vayikra Moshe, Hoshea bin Nun, he called him Yehoshua. He added a yud. If you add a yud to Hoshea, Hoshea becomes Yehoshua. And Rashi says, if you add the yud, it's yud ke is koh. You have the shame koh. Koh Yehoshua. Hashem should save you, should spare you from the ace of the spies, from the ace of the meraglim. Anyway, Moshe was concerned about Yehoshua, so he changed his name. That he should be able to be successful, to succeed. Right? To succeed in surviving the meraglim. Vayikra Moshe lo Hoshea bin Nun Yehoshua. And the Mefarshim asked, why was he only worried about Yeshua? Why not about Kolev? What about the others? Why was he only worried about Yeshua? So it appears that Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch wants to answer this question. He doesn't make it question and answer. Here's what Rav Hirsch says. Vayikra Moshe, and this is what Revival was learning, by the way. This shtickle Rav Hirsch. Three or four lines. Vayikra Moshe Leshea Benin Yeshua. Shinah Hashem, says Rav Hirsch. The name change. Hoshea to Yeshua. Who remez loy v'remez gam l'reyov. Rav Hirsch says it was not just for Yeshua. Yeshua was the person whose name was changed, but the message by changing the name was a message not just for him. Rav Hirsch says the name change was a message to all of the colleagues as well, which means shekei, why? Because from now on, whenever we call Yeshua the new name, everybody who hears it, all his colleagues who hear it, they're going to receive the message of that new name, because his name till now was Hoshea. So now that he was changed to Yehoshua, there's a message, we'll soon see. There's a message in Yeshua that's going to affect not only Yeshua, it's going to affect all his friends. Shekein kol eima sheyikru loy b'shmoy HaKadosh. Because from now on, whenever he's going to be called by the new name, Yizkiru gamheim, his friends, his colleagues will also be reminded the mashmoyes, the meaning of that new name. What does the name mean? Rav Hirsch suggests as follows. Kashem hazeh. Changing Hoshea to Yeshua, Roimaz Loi Velohem, again he says it's a remiss to him and to them. It's not for Yeshua alone. It's to have an effect and a message that Hoshea is Yeshua. There's a concept called Hoshea. When you hear that Hoshea is changing, forget about that it's a person. Think about these two words. They're going to remember that something, Hoshea, changed in Yeshua. You know what that means? The first of this. The message is that Hoshea, whoever helped us in the past, Yehoshua is going to help us in the future. That's the message that everybody's going to hear. Because till now it was Hoshea, and now it becomes Yehoshua. What is the difference? Hoshea means Be'ovah. Yehoshua means in the future. It says Rav Hirsch, that Mi Shehoshea Be'ovah, Hu Gam Yehoshua Be'osid. This is what he points out. Rav Hirsch tells us that the name Yehoshua is a tefillah, a statement that Hashem will help in the future. So he took this, Rav Feivel was sitting there, he's early for shul, and he opened up this Rav Hirsch Chumash, and he sees about the name Yehoshua, and he sees that the message was in that. So he says to himself, he says, there's something amazing in that name. So he comes home and tells his wife, you know, this is the name that we're going to choose. This hit him, he says, that this could be an example, this could be something, Yeshua. This gives koyach to accept, because we say that, you know, Hashem is going to help us, Yeshua. And therefore he and his wife, they made up that the name of the baby is going to be Yeshua. Baby starts making progress. They announce the bris is going to be then and then. They already set a date for the bris. The night before the bris, Revival's father calls up. Now sometimes parents meddle in the name, sometimes they don't meddle in the name. But Revival's father calls up and he said, now Revival's wife's name is Shifra. He said, before I say what I have to say is, does your wife Shifra have a chiev, an obligation, someone that she needs to name the baby after? Because then he doesn't want to overstep. So he says, no. She doesn't have any real somebody that she has to name. So if that's the case, I have And he didn't want to hear. He knew his father now suggesting a name. Kids don't always want to hear that. So he was just standing there waiting to hear what he doesn't want to hear. And his father says, well, if that's the case, he says to him. You know, and he says it emphatically. He says, you know, your uncle Bernie passed away, he said, a few months ago, and no one named him. It was called Bernie. So Amel, I think it would be right to name him after Bernie. And he says, Oive, he says, and what was Bernie's name? And the father said, Yehoshua Baruch, both names together. Hashgacha Pratis, Rabbi Isai.